Well, a lot of us make New Year resolutions when it comes to the New Year, but even before we start planning these resolutions, and sometimes we don't make them because we've made so many that we've not kept, that we just don't make them anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't make any this year, but I did start out something new, and Sally knows about this because I talked to her about I'm taking this art course. This is going to be very interesting for me. I've never done it before. Something new. But I think the Lord will bless me in it. Well, that's not my New Year's resolution. That's just something I'm going to do. I think this should be our New Year's resolution. Epiphany means manifestation. That's what the word means. Epiphany means manifestation. And it's a good season of Epiphany. It started on January the 6th, and it goes all the way until Lent starts. And it's a good start to our journey into the new year because it gives us a worthy goal for the new year, and that is to manifest Christ to the world. Now, the scripture themes that are usually talked about during the Epiphany season, they have the coming of the Magi, the presentation of the baby Jesus in the temple, Christ's baptism at the Jordan River, the miracle at the wedding in Cana, his transfiguration is sometimes used that way, and these are all historical. That's history. What about today? History is good to give us strength only because it speaks to today. Now, what is the Epiphany now? And God has determined that our Epiphany, His Epiphany to the world, will be through Christians, through the church, through us. The worship of Christians can manifest Christ to the world. The worship of Christians. Now, this passage that we talked about, or we have read, is a passage about praise, and that's why when I saw this, I thought, you know, we've never used that banner. And it's good that we're using it. It's about praising the Lord. And I hope that during all of the Epiphany season, as we use this banner, we'll remember to praise the Lord. Verbally, not just in our minds, but verbally say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, more and more in our lives. It's a habit that we can form. Now, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem by King David, he arranged all these singers under the command of Asaph or something to sing this psalm. Now, it's not the Psalm 105. It's shorter than 105. He must have added on later to it. But only the first couple of verses of what was read to us in Psalm 105 is what I'm going to preach from. And I'm not going to preach from Psalm 105. I'm going to preach from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. Three verses. Four verses. 11, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay. Four verses. And in those four verses, it talks about worship. Different aspects of worship that now we apply to Christ. Then it was applied to God, who they knew, but they didn't know Him fully. They knew Him as a holy God, a God that was a personal God that spoke to them, that talked to them, but not personally yet. And the Ark of the Covenant that was brought in manifested the presence, not just the Word of God, but the presence of God. And Christians have the presence of Christ as a historical fact now. Christ, in His incarnation, brought the presence of God down to earth, a physical presence, so that we got to know what God really is like. Now that we know, and now that we are Christians, we are to make Christ known to the world. We are to be the ones that bring the Epiphany. And these areas of worship, these aspects of worship that are listed in these verses, are really bringing that out. And I'll read them through as we go. You've already heard them once. I'll read them through as we go. First of all, the worship of thanksgiving. The worship of thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord. John Bailey in the 1700s said, a true Christian is a man who never for a moment forgets what God has done for him in Christ, and whose whole comportment and whole activity have their root in the sentiment of gratitude. We talk a lot about the attitude of gratitude that has to be over all of our lives. Well, how do we get our whole comportment and our whole activity rooted in this sentiment of gratitude? Well, first of all, see God's hand in everyone who crosses your path. And you go, wait a minute, David. Not everybody that crosses my path is somebody that I'm thankful for. Well, is it God's hand or is it not? So if it is God's hand, and we're to give thanks to the Lord, you know, we should be thankful for people. Things pass away. Circumstances change. And those are things to be thankful for. But people, they touch our lives sometimes for the rest of our lives. We need to be thankful for people. And you know something? We need to look at everyone as a gift when we meet them. We say, listen, but what about the people that are irritating me? They irritate me every time that I get in their presence. Well, they are a gift to get you to seek God's presence so that you can ask for more grace. You can turn it around any way you want to, but it'll help you get into the presence of God and depend on Him more than your own strength to put up with that person, okay? Everyone to get. Well, after real quickly, there are several points here. The worship of petition, asking, call on His name, look to the Lord and His strength. Those are not in order there, but they're mentioned in the passage. Look to the Lord and His strength. Call on His name. Now, if you were moving some heavy furniture, and there were two people nearby, one was an invalid, and one was a young person like Anna, who would you call on for help? You call on Anna. Why? You know that she could help you. You know, and a lot of times, we call upon the things in this life, the things in this world, things that are the worldly character, finances, you know, arrangements that people make. And the Lord, all the time, is just waiting for us to call on His name. And you know Jesus has many names. We sing that song, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. All of those things are Jesus' name, and we need to call upon Him. When we call upon Him for salvation, that's the first call that we have. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I've said it again and again. The name Jesus itself, if you just say Jesus, that's a call for help. If you need Him, just say Jesus. That's a prayer. And we need the help that His name brings. We need that help. In the New Revised Standard Version of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of Jesus is our help. We have a hymn. We haven't sung it very often. In fact, I don't know if we sing it at all. And I think we should just have to join in serving Jesus. We ought to sing this one too. Take the name of Jesus with you. Have you heard that one before? Take the name, we haven't sung it, I don't think, here. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. We show our trust in Christ to a world that doesn't know Him when we thank Him. Calling on His name audibly. You know, I hear sometimes when I'm at work and a woman is in labor and she doesn't have an epidural and she's not having any medication, and she's about sometimes ready to deliver. And you know what she's saying sometimes? She's saying, help me, Jesus! Help me, Jesus! And you know what? I know she must be, at least, she's calling on the right name. She might be my sister in Christ. And it begins me. It reminds me to pray for her. And not just do the things I need to do physically to help her, but it reminds me to pray for her as well. And sometimes, if you are calling on the Lord for help, in the presence of a person who doesn't know Him, they know your testimony. And that's what the next thing is. The worship of testimony. Make known among the nations. That's everybody in the whole world but that means the people nearby you too. Make known among the nations what he has done. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Our verbal witness to the work of Christ in our lives is a powerful form of worship. It's a powerful form of worship. E. Stanley Jones was a young man, and he was in an argument about his Christian faith with an atheist. And the atheist had a lot of intellectual tricks and so on he was playing on him. And he couldn't answer all his arguments, so finally he quoted what the blind man had quoted to the Jewish leaders after he had been healed by Jesus. He said, "This I do know. Once I was blind, but now I see." And that silenced that atheist. He couldn't. How can he answer that? That's a person's personal experience. Our testimony is important. What Jesus has done for us. And you know, the world loves stories. The best story maker, the one who makes true stories, is God. It's God. And he calls us to worship him by being storytellers. True storytellers. Those who testify. There's that song. I've been picking a lot of songs because you know the musical notes in there. It goes right along with this message. We've a story to tell to the nations that will turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. That's what we have to tell. And many times it's a story that is within our own hearts, something that we know. Sometimes from a missionary story that we've learned. There's tales that we can pass along. I use those as many illustrations sometimes. Then there's the worship of singing. The worship of singing. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. You know, many Christian songs proclaim they actually proclaim Christian doctrine. They proclaim our creed. And some of them proclaim Christian experience, what it's like to be a Christian. But we also need to sing songs that praise God directly. And one of the things I'm thankful for is the number of praise songs that have come out in modern times that are not actually us singing among ourselves, but we're actually, as some good old hymns do, they actually praise to the Lord. And we need to do that. We need to praise songs that actually praise to the Lord. Now these little songs, and we don't know a lot of them, maybe we need to bring more of them into the church service because they're short. They're short enough to learn quickly and easily. And also, sometimes their tune is catchy enough so that it sticks in our mind and we keep humming it and we don't even recognize it. One time I was going to work and I had a tape of praise songs in the tape player in my car, and I was listening to them on the way to work. When I got to work, somehow, I was either whistling or I was humming, and this lady who was a visitor of one of the patients, she said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "You're singing that song we learned at church the other day." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I didn't know I was singing it." It was unconscious. That's how we should be. We should have things that we are manifesting because of worship to the Lord that actually overflows so that it touches other people around us. And we don't even recognize it, but it's happening. It's happening. The worship of rejoicing. The worship of rejoicing. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Now this word glory is interesting because in the Hebrew it means shine. Shine! And you know, there's an expression, "Oh, that person's face was beaming." You know, shine, that person's face was just beaming with joy. It was shining with joy. It's just like a light when the room was lit up. And you know something? Isn't it funny? It's an emotional thing. It's a psychological thing. But if you are in a room where people are just smiling and having a good time, it's bright. It's a bright environment. And God wants us to be that way. You know, Moses, it says that Moses, when he came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony, the Ten Commandments, in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had been speaking with the Lord. His face was actually shining. And you know something? When Christians leave the worship service, that's how we should be. We should not leave in a solemn and serious way. I have been to worship today, and I am very solemn and reverent and still. We should be beaming. We have been speaking with the Lord in praise. Our faces should shine as we go out and go back out into the world. And hopefully, there'll be times in Monday night and Wednesday night and maybe in a Bible study on Thursday or something where you can get that shine going again, you know, as it wears off a little bit. We need to spend that time in rejoicing. And it's interesting. It says the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Why do the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice? Because it's what's on the inside of people that shows up on the outside of people. We sing this song a lot here, and we sing it a lot more actually, at our house. It's Happiness is the Lord. Now it's interesting, that song is very interesting because the verses of that song answer the question, what is the happiness? And the chorus of that song says, why is the happiness there? So here are the verses of that song. What is the happiness? Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is a new creation. Jesus and me in close relation, having a part in His salvation. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth the living, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. Why is the happiness there? It's because real joy is mine, no matter if teardrops fall. I found the secret. It's Jesus in my heart. It's Jesus on the inside that is coming out in joy on the outside. And finally, the worship of fellowship. Seek His face always. Seek His face always. Now, all religions have prayer, but only Christian prayer matches the human need of the heart. And why do I say that? Because we need in our heart fellowship with God. Not just a kind of stand before God, a reverent, objective view of God. We are persons, people, and people need fellowship. They need community. And God has established that kind of relationship with us in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is a personal relationship. It is not a religious commitment to a creed or a ritual. Those things are there. But that's not our faith. Those are an outgrowth of our faith, a manifestation of our faith. But our faith is a personal relationship, a face-to-face relationship. The blessing of God that He wants on everyone is a personal fellowship blessing, a personal face-to-face fellowship with Himself. We had this last week, wasn't it, that we spoke on the blessing? Yeah, the blessing that Terry spoke about last week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face, not just His power, but His face to shine. Where do we get that shine from? Where do we get that glory from? We get it from God's face. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. His face. You know, the fullness of that blessing that was predicted out, that was a blessing that really, they had not seen the face of God. So that blessing was a prophetic blessing. That had never, never really been accomplished. It had been the power of God, the blessing of a God who was personal, who spoke to them, but not a face-to-face relationship yet. But that happened in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. A face-to-face revelation of God came through the incarnation of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shown in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's right there in his face. We need that face-to-face fellowship with the Lord. The worship of Christians, this kind of worship that manifests itself in this way, the worship of Christians manifests Christ to the world. Our worship in thanksgiving, in petition, in testimony, in singing, and in rejoicing, and in fellowship. It works if it is focused on Jesus. If it is focused on Christ. If we maintain that focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, then we, with the light that is reflected from His wonderful glory of the knowledge of God, that will be reflected in our worship. And our worship will shine. Our worship will shine so that from our faces, the world who does not know Him around us will get the epiphany that they need. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this passage. It is such a blessing. It is truly a blessing that has been fulfilled in the face of Jesus Christ. Not a distant God, but a God who has come so near that we can hear His whisper in our hearts, whose lips speak to us, and we can hear and we can walk with this God every day. Thank you so much. And I want to thank you so much, Lord, that down through these last 10 years, I have seen so much of the face of Jesus Christ in the face of my people in this congregation, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of them are now face to face with you in heaven, but while they were here, they reflected your glory in their faces as they kept their focus on you. Lord, may we keep our focus this whole year on you, but especially as we meditate upon this during the Epiphany season. Lord, help us to walk with you. Keep our faith and our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.